Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Rippers and sports nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. A lot going on in the hobby. Big release day tomorrow. We got Tier 1 2013 about to hit Prime Hockey. We're going to do some reviews on Rookies and Stars, Topps Jumbo Elite Series NBA. We're going to talk a little bit of redemption talk, fake patches on cards, and maybe if we squeeze in some fantasy football. I've been knee-deep in doing some research on fantasy football, so maybe I'll give you some sleepers. Dan will talk about his. How you guys doing? What's going down?
Let's just get straight into it, dude. Let's talk fantasy football. Let's go.
Man,
let's go.
Fantasy football is literally tattooed on my forehead right now. Just knee-deep in some drafts. Did a few mock drafts. Well, who am I kidding? I did about 100 mock drafts already. I've done one real draft and got the Big Money League draft next Friday. One of our, you know, leagues that we do every year, I think this is going on year 7, which I've won 4 of the 7 years. We're doing that on Monday, which is always exciting. Pizza and beer and, you know, Doug basically stealing all the top rookies that turn into studs. But other than that, you know, man, it's fantasy football. You can't top it.
I've been just telling everybody I've been flying out to mini camps, which technically this year is kind of true. Went out to the rookie premiere. That's kind of a mini camp, a little bit. So
pretty much.
I went out there. I was running 40s with the guys, you know, doing all that crap, slapping back.
Were you running?
Kissing babies.
Or were you drinking? Were you drinking 40s?
I was drinking 40s while they were running 40s. That's what was going on. Or running, or trying to dodge security guards. You know, that's how I got my workout.
That was true. I got to see some of those cards that they made of you, Ryan. You had some pretty epic poses.
Yeah, I've never talked about those mysterious cards that I'm sure will never get. So. Oh, well, you know, you guys witnessed it. A small group witnessed it, so that Topps was taking pictures of us for trading cards that they were supposedly going to send us. So, you know, those will be remain. Even if I get them, those will probably be remain sight unseen. So unless I'm in a real good mood.
It'll be a redemption.
I was gonna say, I'm like, they're going to send us redemptions for them. They're going to be like, here you go. Here's redemptions for your cards. Sorry. You get them in 10
it's
years.
It's funny because I guess we can jump right into redemptions now that we're just kind of talking about it. It's kind of, you know, I've watched a few group breakers and you know, we see a lot of redemptions. It's become a term around the group breakers that these things are blue mystery cards from Topps because that's, it's sad that we're saying that because at the end of the day, you may or may not get the card on that's listed on the redemption.
Especially,
I know half of it's not their fault. Half of it's not their fault. I get that, but
well, I would say closer to like 85-90% is not their fault. They don't. It's not like they put these guys in the sets and they're like, I don't want that guy in the set now. No, they want everybody in there. They don't want to put out redemptions. It's just the follow through is leaves a little less to be desired, I guess. I mean, they could be a little bit more proactive about making sure they get the autos, it seems like, but they want to put all the content into the product. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we're dealing with professional athletes. We talk about it time and time again. We're dealing with professional athletes with they have more on their plate than sitting there signing 300 cards.
They don't. That's all they do, dude. They don't.
You know what? You're right. You're right. You know what? Don't go out there and practice. Don't even be good. Don't even play football. Just sit there and sign cards all day. That's where the real money's at. Who cares?
Exactly.
If you're trying to,
not sign cards. You mean sign stickers all day, basically.
Yeah, but I mean, who cares about, you know, going out and fulfilling your $60 million contract for your team? No. You get $4 per sticker you sign. That's where the money's at.
Get on it. Get on it. You got a broken arm? Rob Gronkowski, sign it anyway. You know?
Sign left-handed. It'll be a lot better than the rest of the guys who are signing out there right now.
Kevin Cobb, your life is over. Sign stickers.
Oh, that's his life isn't over. His life's just beginning now. He's like, dude, he doesn't have to worry about playing football anymore. A little guaranteed money. Shit, put me in there.
Well,
I'll get a concussion.
I think right now he's got to worry about getting solids down. I think that's his main priority. And being able to recall where he's from. No, I hate to talk about that guy. That guy's kind of got a rough run at what he had. I mean, he was on the Eagles. He was on, you know, he's been tossed around to Arizona, and you know, he's kind of like the Colt McCoy. And now, you know, he had a chance of starting for the Bills and gets a concussion that pretty much they're saying is a career-ending concussion. That sucks.
Yeah, but he made some money.
He did. He got paid.
I bet you he's going to sign. If he has any redemptions outstanding, I bet you he's going to sign those real quick. You know, he's got a wife and a $5,000 mortgage somewhere. So, I mean, you know, he's going to be, you know, maybe he'll have a second career doing something. That's what a lot of these guys end up doing. Some of these guys end up successful.
He may go into broadcasting. He may do something. You never know. I mean, a lot of these guys stay in football. He may become a quarterback coach. He may be, I don't know. I mean, a lot of these guys do stuff like that. They, you know. I mean, they went to college. They got a college education. They can figure it out. It's all good. I mean, it sucks.
I think he'll be at the National. He'll be at the National for the next 10 years. Sign that contract.
For free. Yeah, sign it for free.
No, I mean.
Shoulder to shoulder. Kevin Cobb and Pat Listash. All right. VIP.
And I wish the best for him. Maybe he comes back and, you know, does well. I mean, who am I to say? I'm a guy sitting in front of a computer doing a sports card podcast. So, but, you know, it's that's one of the things that I, you know, exhibition preseason football. I mean, we're seeing all these guys go down. It's just, you know, I want to see it. Can we play flag football or something? Can we do something? I mean, only play the third stringers here? I mean, I got a lot of money resting on some fantasy leagues, and these guys are getting hurt, trying to, you know, messing up my fantasy league. It's like, it's messing up my Niners team, guys getting hurt. It's like, let's figure this out. Let's shorten it to two games or something, or just maybe play only, like I said, the third rounders or, you know, seventh round guys that are trying to fight for some spots. Let's not get these superstars out on the field.
If they had guys who are like fifth, sixth rounders out there fighting for like two spots on a roster, it'd be like the XFL, man. It'd be guys like body slamming people and just like clotheslining and just getting all crazy. They're like, I got a spot to make. I'm going to drop kick this guy.
Just shooting up roids on the side of the field right before he goes in. Just, oh, I'm about to go in. All right. Let me just shoot it up right now. Let's get pumped.
I don't know. Yeah. Preseason is preseason. I mean, the only thing I could see really benefiting from preseason is the NFL Network, man. Those guys are getting paid on advertising. They are like every game they're televising. At some point,
oh, yeah.
If you watch the NFL Network, it literally is all day preseason games. So like they're the only ones really benefiting from the preseason.
Yeah. Back onto the topic of redemptions, I actually, you know, I got to hand it to Beckett.com, who has a pretty thorough survey about redemptions. That's kind of what spurred this whole redemption talk. It's pretty interesting. They have about 20 questions that they're taking polls for, like, are you currently owed a redemption card? How many redemptions do you have waiting? If you view the results, most people, it looks like 33% have 1120 redemption cards they're still waiting for. So that's 10%. That's the vote, 51 votes, 15%, 6 to 10, 1 to 5, 41% of the vote. So it's pretty crazy. You guys should go check this out, you guys that are listening, about the little poll they have going here. What's the longest you've been waiting for your oldest redemption card? More than a year is 28% of the vote. And that's 73 votes. So there's 73 people out there that voted. They've been waiting more than a year for a redemption card. Crazy.
That's not okay.
Yeah. Okay. And hold your mind.
That's not okay.
I don't know if it's collector's jobs or podcast people jobs or people who have websites. I don't think it's their job to come up with these solutions. There are people at these companies who get paid every day and who know the business better than we do. Personally, I don't want to say that I'm around the house weeds all the time, but I go to a lot of games, a lot of minor league games. I don't know how to say this. I think if you put the right person in front of these athletes, whether that's somebody who's a very ineffective communicator, maybe a very attractive female, just a male who has very good communication skills, they can get these deals done and get these guys to sign their cards. It annoys me, like when at like the rookie premiere, when they're having these guys sign like tons of stuff and their hands wear out, and that's where you start to see the kind of the dismantling of these guys' signatures, where they're just signing their initials because they're so tired.
Right.
Imagine if you had to sit there
right.
and sign your name 1,000 times. So there has to be a better process.
There's also like the resentment. See, you got to figure like that's why you don't see a lot of vet autos out there, because at least in the last like 5-6 years with the rookie premiere, these guys are signing like X amount of stickers and X amount of cards and whatnot, signing pretty much all day. And after that, they're like, "Shit, I'm never going to do that again. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go play football.
Well,
I'm never signing another card again."
Then they have to massage that relationship. When you have a relationship with a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning or somebody who's really upscale, who's not going to sign a lot of cards to begin with, because A, it's going to be very expensive, and a lot of those guys, they don't want to dilute their autograph. They don't want to sign 1,000 things, because then the next time they go to sign something, you know, it's kind of the Johnny Manziel's mistakes. He signed too many autographs. Just sign a few hundred, you know, and get paid for it. But anyways, so I think that those are key people within Panini Talks. They're not making these cards. They're all third party. Whenever they talk about all these new technologies that they're bringing to these cards, printing technologies and stuff, that's all done by a third party. It's not even done by somebody there. Like, yeah, they lay out the cards, but any type of printing technology, superfractor prisms, this, cracked ice, blah, 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 that's all through a third party that allows them to use it and stuff. Like, it's ridiculous. Anyways, so the relationships with the athletes are so important. They have to massage that. And, okay, Tom Brady only likes to sign a couple hundred things at a time, which I can understand. About all I could do if I had to do it. So
right.
Find a way to do that. Find a way to do that. Put an independent contractor rep near Tom Brady, who just has a really good relationship, probably with Tom Brady's agent, not necessarily maybe with. It's all about people skills when you're dealing with this. So you've got to hire somebody who's a former agent or somebody who has connections
Great
to these
idea.
Players, because these guys would sign it. And if they knew that collectors were mad or upset that they weren't getting their autograph cards, I think 8 out of 10 athletes would okay, I'm going to sit down and do these one day. These guys respond to mail that they get. Some guys respond to mail that they get. They open letters and they sign and they, you know, TTM autograph. These guys, so if they're getting paid, they're going to do it. But you have to have somebody, probably with a connection through the agents, to get in there, get these guys to sign. They will do it. But to bring it back to our end, from our perspective, our role is to complain about it, like literally. Because at some point you have to get fed up about it. If you're waiting for a Bryce Harper, somebody's emailed me about a Bryce Harper card, gold refractor or something, that's probably worth a fortune. and he's been waiting and waiting for over a year on it. I think it's 2012 Topps Chrome or something like that. Another guy emailed me just like 20 minutes ago about that ball that I always talk about, Willie Mays, Ken Griffey Jr., and, Hank Aaron. Gold ball from 2012 Topps Series 1, which came out now about a year and a half ago. Just got another email 20 minutes ago from the guy. Hey, I haven't heard anything. You got anything new? Makes me feel like crap, because what can I do? So literally, that was 20 minutes ago I got that. So on a weekly basis, I'm getting things, you know, just two in the last couple of days. A guy even created a petition online, and this guy's serious. This guy's a serious collector. Obviously, he spends a lot of money if he's waiting on a gold Bryce Harper that he bought, and he bought the redemption. I mean, he didn't pull this out of a pack or anything or a box. This guy's got money, and he's mad, and rightfully so. So collectors, if you're waiting on cards, you got to speak up.
I think our job is basically to relay the feedback to the manufacturers.
Right.
It's their job to take the feedback and make their product better. I mean, we can't basically do everything for them. I mean, we just can't do it. We don't work for them. All we can do is relay the feedback. This is what people are complaining about. This is what concerns people. This is what you guys need to work on. This is what you guys need to fix. It's up to them to hire people to fix the problems.
Or, you know, they could institute, I mean, something going back, and I keep bringing this up because I thought it was such a great idea that they did in 2011 with that freaking redemption thing where you went on and you got these old cards. What if they did something like that for redemptions where they know they're going to have redemptions, but give them something extra for the redemption, maybe a code where they can scratch it off and play a game on Topps. A, that gets people to Topps' website where they can monetize, get their emails. B, there's gifts and prizes on this redemption thing. So say you get this redemption for this Bryce Harper and you go on and you scratch this code and you play this Topps game where you put the code in and you can win a prize. Say you like win a box of tribute or something. I mean, that would lessen the blow of like waiting for the redemption. It's like, okay, I won something because I got a redemption card. You know, something like extra that, hey, it sucks that you didn't get this card, or we're working on getting the athlete to sign, but just because here's a second chance at winning something, or, you know, making it an interactive game. I don't know why they ever did it. Maybe it's just me, but I think that game thing that they had with the Topps Vault, winning those cards, getting those old cards, getting the rings and stuff like that, I thought that was genius. I don't know why they stopped doing it. Maybe it goes back to what we were talking about last week with their spread too thin. Maybe it cost too much money to maintain that site and send those cards out or something. But that site was genius. There was a lot of buzz.
Yeah, that's the last time they spent any money over there at Topps, it seems like. That ramp up where they had Cal Ripken go on C-SPAN or whatever, or CNBC, and talk about baseball cards and million-dollar giveaway, and that was cool. It was, you know, there were some glitches, but it seemed like there were less glitches on that site than some of the other things they've rolled out, and they've progressively rolled out more stuff that, oh, you win a virtual coin or something. So it speaks to what you just were talking about maybe creating some other type of incentive when you get a redemption card. It actually speaks to how they not only have to improve the athlete to Topps relationship to get the autographs fulfilled, they also need to improve the communication between Topps and the customer, because now the customers are mad. The customers are going on Facebook. The customers are going on Twitter. We're talking about it right now. The forums, you can find threads on this stuff. So now you have to handle that and do better at that and create a dialogue and communication, and maybe not on Twitter. Twitter, you know, they're shutting down the little Topps support. I mean, you're so limited on there because it's 140 characters. It's great that it's public. My brother thought of, you know, well, they should just create their own forum, their own customer service forum, so that it's all out in the open. And so that sometimes people can go and read somebody else's problem, and then they don't have to contact customer support because their question was already answered previously. And there's no way to do that with Topps. There's no way to discover that type of information. When you have a redemption card or you have a question, it's hard to get an answer, you know, unless you talk directly with Tops, which is extremely difficult to get through to anybody.
Yep.
So there's multiple layers to this that they need to improve. Whether or not it's hurting their bottom line enough for it to even matter, for it to even be on the Richter scale, I don't know. I imagine at some point it has to. At some point it will have to matter if enough people are kind of fed up with this. But I don't know. We're maybe still too early in the process that it still hasn't affected them financially for them to look at it. I think if they were starting to get hurt business-wise, they would act. They have cash. They, you know, they have a management team that has money and doesn't want to run it into the ground, but they want to sell it
right
at some point. So, you know, it's multiple layers. It speaks to employers and the employees that they have.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think we've ever talked about this, but Topps puts their stated odds on their packs. So you can literally figure out the print run of, you know, how many super fractors there are, because it's, you know, 1 in 5,000 packs. Well, there's, you know, 50 super fractors. Do the math. You figure out how many boxes or packs were made. Panini doesn't do that. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Panini this year, with their football products so far, have had less redemptions. There's been maybe one per case, if that. So is it because they're not putting the odds on the pack that maybe there's only 50, like, maybe there's only 50 Kayvon Austins, because that's all the stickers they have left, but there's 500 Deion Gillisleys. So being that Topps has to put the stated odds on the pack, is that hurting them and causing more redemptions? See what I'm saying? I don't know why Panini never puts their odds on the pack. That's something that's weird about Panini is they're completely transparent, but yet they don't have their odds on their packs. And I don't know why.
I do know that it's an important thing for Topps to have the odds on the pack. I heard his last name's Real. I think it's David Real, one of the guys at Topps. You know, that's a big thing for them is putting the odds on the pack so that people can see that. And they try
right.
to be as accurate as possible with that. So, I don't know why business, I guess, they don't want you to be able to figure out the print run, but I think we could all could figure that out.
Right. And that's the thing that it's interesting with Panini is, I mean, why don't they? Is that, does that give them more leverage to put things in or not say that there's something on the spread, sell sheet and it doesn't make it in the product? We'll never know because there's no stated odds.
Right.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Panini's been doing a great job with their products. Their redemption process is great. Their customer service is great. Their products, aren't maybe selling as well as Topps, and maybe that's why Topps has taken that approach of what they do, but it would be interesting to see odds on the pack for Panini products, and I don't know if they're going to do that eventually. There's something that TriStar does, which I like. TriStar actually puts numbering on each box, so you know that there's 2,500 boxes, and you got box number 1,852.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I like that. Leaf does it too sometimes. I don't see it on every product, but Leaf will number, I think they did it with Memories, they numbered the cases. I think that needs to be done from all manufacturers. It's not being done. Odds need to be there so we know, you know, how hard it is to hit a 101 from Panini. How hard is it to hit a 101 from Panini? Do they have 700 101s or do they only have 200 101s? We don't know because there's no stated odds.
Yeah. I mean, once a checklist comes out, though, you can kind of do the math.
Those checklists,
right.
Though, I mean, the rookies and stars checklist is like, it's like 8,500 cards. But then literally once you kind of weed out the base set, the rookie, when you start kind of weeding out the main portions of this set, it's literally like gets down to about 800 cards. Like it's ridiculous. Like the parallels are just insane. That set, I was looking at it, I was like, I thought a couple years ago they were saying how they weren't going to do parallels. I don't know, we're getting off kind of from the redemption talk, but you know, deciphering a Panini checklist kind of from their website, or you download it then to Excel. I mean, and they do it in alphabetical order. So, you know, you get, you know, it's just a little weird how they format their checklist, and, you know, there's nothing they can really do about it. Speaking from somebody who's put up, I don't know, 500,000 checklists and had to format them and put them on Joomla, which is, you know, way more complicated than anything I've worked on. So it's not, you know, it's ridiculous that there's 8,500 quote unquote different cards in something like Rookies and Stars. I mean, that's one set, you know, and it's just like, it's ridiculous that there's a lot of mass producing going on with some of this crap that hangs around for years. Prestige, Hoops, regular top, Series 1, Series 2, things like that. I mean, it's these guys' business models are really, really poor. I've spoken about it in the past. I hate to harp on it, but from a business perspective, this is an extremely poor business. It was a better business when you didn't have to get these guys' autographs, because now that just threw a whole – when you could just print cards, it's like printing T-shirts. It's like printing whatever. It's basically, essentially printing money. It was in the 1990s, you know. So now it's turned into something totally different than what it started out to be, which was to promote gum or tobacco, cigarettes, if you want to go way back.
Right.
That's what these things were used for up until, like, you know, sometime in the late 1980s, I heard things started to, you know, kind of the bubble started to form. And then it, you know, now it, that was, and they were just printing cards. There were no redemption cards. There were no autographs or jersey cards or serial numbered. People were just, it was still just cards with gum a lot of times. But now the gum was a secondary concern. So now we've gotten into a totally different business model. That it totally goes against what has been a 120-year business, if you go back to the 1800 tobacco cards. So now we're in this little bubble here of 20 years where there's no successful model yet, I don't think. I don't think there's a – when you have to get these guys' autographs and jersey cards and big hits and $500 boxes or $1,200 boxes of Flawless, it's a totally – this is like a – we don't even know what's going to happen. These guys will all go broke probably at some point, except for probably Top. So it's I'm just baffled. When I see a set like Rookies and Stars, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Can you make money on this? Is it a break? You spend $50,000 making the product to make what, $55,000 at the end of the day in a year? It's got to be a low margin business. Like, they're throwing VIP parties at the National and stuff like that. This has got to be a real low margin thing for these guys. So it's just, this autograph stuff and this redemption stuff, it's a whole new thing that none of these guys have ever had to deal with. And they don't seem prepared to deal with it, any of the employees really, except for Panini, who's done some things at the National, and they do some, and they I had about 8 redemptions at Panini. I've gotten all of about 1 back. You know, and this is all in about a less than a year span. So in less than a year, I had 8, and now I'm down to 1. So, you know, they get it done, you know.
Well, that's what I think they're doing without putting out the print run, because who knows? I mean, so you pull an RPA from Momentum of Tavon Austin, numbered to 299. How do we actually know that all 299 were included in the product? They could have went like, okay, well, we're only going to put 50 in the product. So that's how they're getting around. It's not necessarily, I can't think of the word, but I'm thinking, I want to say bait and switch, with not necessarily bait and switch, maybe. It's like, we'd rather not put redemptions in the product, so we're just not going to put out the odds so that everybody gets a hit. There's no redemptions, and people don't complain about Panini products having redemptions in it, because we're just, if the guy's not going to sign, we're just not going to put it in the set. So there was never a checklist put out before the product came out. There was never any stated hobby odds. Tops has to put out these redemptions because they have the stated odd. So for how many cards they have to have a card to fulfill that stated odd. So that's what I'm thinking, is they're getting around. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I think that's how Panini's getting around the redemption thing. That's why they've been putting out so many products this year so far. I mean, granted, it's early in the year, and they probably got a lot of stickers up front, and they're maybe there's going to be more redemptions and later on products. But I think that's how they're getting around it.
I would like to take – I'd like to see a percentage of redemptions in both Panini and Topps over the last 3 years of however many products are released, however many boxes, however many cases. What is the percentage of the hits are redemptions? I'd like to see what Topps' percentage is and what Panini's percentage is. That would – I mean, that would basically tell you a lot. That would either say – one company is going out of their way with connections that they have with the players to make sure the players sign, either by giving them more money than their competitor. Because at the end of the day, it all comes down to money. Say we got a guy like Nile, right? Let's say Topps is offering him 50 cents an auto, and Panini's offering him 75 cents. Well, he's probably going to go through and sign. Wouldn't anybody go through and sign and take care and fulfill your agreement with a company that's going to give you more money than the other company? Wouldn't you go, okay, I'm going to go and sign all these that are giving me 75 cents, and then I'll get the ones that are 50 cents later?
I think the NFLPA does facilitate that in some regards. I think everybody has to pay the same amount to the same guy every time.
Well, maybe that's what the problem is.
Well, how they
maybe they should open up the market and allow these guys to put in different bids. You can do it in any other industry. Okay. Go ahead.
As a rookie premier, you do when you go, even if you're Andrew Luck or you're Nile Davis, you have to sign. I have the paperwork that says it. It's either 1,000 or 1,200 per card company. So that's included in whatever they paid each guy to get there. Now obviously they need way more autographs than that. And I think that's when the price per card comes in. Now Davis is probably gets a little more than 75 cents a card, but it's not much. He's probably less than $2, I would think. But somebody like EJ Manuel was getting more, Eddie Lacy, or some of these guys who are going to be short for the take on Austin, I'm sure, wanted a little bit more. And then somebody like Griffin and Luck are a lot more. I mean, you know, a lot more, you know, $75
right.
maybe a pop, so something like that. So it's I kind of like the competitive bidding, like you were talking about, Dan. Like, you know, make it a competitive bidding. I think that's where the relationship with the Panini and the agent or Panini and the athlete, that's really where you could win some of these guys over. If I were these guys, I don't know. If I was working there, I would do something like totally outside the box, just totally off the wall. Like, I would spend weeks just trying to think of these things, talking to people who do other businesses and just really successful people to come up with a unique solution. Like, I would try to talk to as many people about it who don't even have a skin in the game, explain it to them, you know, really smart people, and then say, hey, so what would you do? How would you handle this? Give me some ideas. Write all these things down, get, you know, and then come up with some kind of crazy, I think they have to configure these products differently at some point. That's my own personal opinion, or sell these cards differently. I still love the E-Tops thing. I know they went broke, but why couldn't you do that on Check On My Card? The same way you did those Prism 1-of-1. Stop being greedy and, you know, reach out to the community a little bit. You could sell every week. You could IPO cards that are live on Check On My Card, live, ready to ship. You've got them. Done. Boom. You just need an account, you know, boom. You can include the shipping in the price of the card if you wanted to.
And that's one thing that I did want to bring up. Check Out My Cards actually is accepting redemptions, and they will redeem them for you. And then I just saw that today. Somebody wrote about it on a forum, that they will take the redemption, you send it in unscratched, they scratch it off and redeem it so that they can, maybe they have more power on getting these things because, you know, it's also easier for Topps to send out 100, you know, redemptions to one thing. So it's they're providing a great service with redemptions that maybe in the future will help out Topps and Panini because you send your redemption in to check out my cards, they'll all get, maybe they'll get filled faster. They got 150 to send one bulk ship to check out my cards. Boom, it's in there. So you can buy a redemption from check out my cards, and then once it's fulfilled, it'll drop right in your check out my cards account, which I think is cool.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a good decent service. Takes a headache away from you. And you could contact Check All My Cards, who could maybe in turn put some heat on, you know, these idiot card companies. They probably look at this guy Check All My Cards like he's some kind of idiot. It's like, he quit Microsoft to work in sports cards. Like, go talk to the guy. Dude, he would do any. He would run. He would do an ETOP situation at a heartbeat where he didn't really make any money. Like, he would do it for him and facilitate and be their ship, provide everything. Like, he would do everything basically for him. Like, Jesus Christ, go talk to the guy. Like, I mean, there are some really smart people out there that these companies, I don't know. They have it on auto. It feels like they have it on auto. Oh, rookies and stars. Oh, we'll just do the exact same thing last year, except we'll make these three new inserts. We'll do a couple new parallels, push it up a little bit. Oh, we'll hire the serial number because this year we're printing more or whatever. That's it. Oh, this set comes out. We'll just kind of clean the windows in a sense, window dressing, put some curtains on it, and call it, 2013 Allen and Ginter. Like, fuck, dude. Like, is that all you guys do? You know, they don't, trust me, they don't do much else. They're not printing these cards. They just send the designs over like you send over a business card, basically. Somebody else prints all the cards for them. And packs them and ships them to the distributor and Target and Walmart. And they can do that. And then you guys have to buy product, have to call a distributor. You don't call Chops. You don't call Panini. You don't call Upper Deck. You got to call a distributor. Oh, and you got to make good relationships with them, because when National Treasures comes out, they're going to be like, oh, well, let's see. Oh, nope, you're only getting one case. I know you can sell through six in a New York minute, but oh, you only get one case. Sorry. This is allocated, quote unquote. So the whole business model is just a sham since they've gotten to this super mass production, 25 sets a company per sport, autograph gear, redemption cards. It's a whole new business. It's like a whole dying business, because it's not like sports cards are popping off like, Tesla cars or something. I mean, this isn't a hot thing. It's, and some people, they equate Pogs, Beanie Babies, and baseball cards. It's all in the same niche. Whereas sports cards are way more thriving than either of those niches. But the common man out there is going to look at this as like a dying business, and nobody with any kind of money is going to create a baseball, going to try to compete with Topps or Panini. All they'd have to do is get it in with the league. That's all it would take. Somebody who want to do this, but nobody wants to do that. Hell no, they want to make jerseys and hats and do all this other stuff, fantasy sports. So it's a dangerous business these guys are playing. But all they have to do is communicate and have some dedicated employees and train these guys and somebody with some juice flowing through them. Get some coffee going in the morning. Like, get excited when you come into work. Fire the coffee up. Go smoke cigarettes. I don't know. Whatever you got to do. Do a line of cocaine. Get your heart rate up in the morning and fucking go to work on this shit. Like, God damn, it's like, oh, this is work. Go to work on it. And guess what? If you do really well, you probably make more money, or you get a better job, or you go work at Nike.
But those Panini girls that were at the VIP party, just have them dancing around the office all day. I'm sure there would be some great ideas.
Like Miley Cyrus. Oh, my God, it's Miley Cyrus. I watch Bloomberg all day and shit, and they do like two cut-ins of this Miley Cyrus doing, I guess, this twerking. I never heard of it. My God, I was like, why wasn't I watching that? I'm sitting here watching Bloomberg, and you got this little girl fucking twerking and shit. Like, bring in some girls who would do some twerking in the top office on these guys. Get their fucking heart rate up. Oh.
All right, we gotta take a time out real quick. What was that? What was that again? Twerking.
Twerking, baby. They said it on Bloomberg. Like, that's how I heard about this. It was like, oh,
well, we need to
raise your sales because it's twerking.
We're going to do a 10-minute segment right now. We're going to do a 10-minute segment right now on what this twerking is. We got to get to the bottom of this, and we got to figure out what it is.
It's when a girl bends over and shakes her rear, basically. That's a twerking. Back that thing. That's what it is.
Is it twerking?
Yeah,
twerking. Twerking.
Wow.
Gyration.
Wow. My mind's blown right now. I don't even know what to say.
We need to get some twerking girls in the Topps office. Panini does a pretty good job with the redemption, so we'll they have models that seems like on call 24/7 anyway. So I'll send them. Like, I mean, they're in New York, so there's tons of little model girls. And we're not talking about strip club situation. We're just talking about some girls that are just going to go shake their booty like Miley said. Hey, guys, let's fix these redemptions. Let's get that gold ball out. Let's get Bryce Harper signed. Let's get Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey's fucked now. Like, he's going to have surgery. Can he even sign? Can he sign with his left hand? I don't know. I mean, fuck, we got to figure all this out today. But we're going to twerk, and then we're going to work. Twerk and work. Twerk and work, baby. I think he's making a song. Twerk and work. Pops was going to twerk and work, baby. Get it done. Oh.
Baby, that's
fuck. Twerk and work.
Oh, man. Series one, twerk and work.
Yeah, that could be an intro set. A new parallel. Come on. I'm being serious about this. Just get your heart rate up when you come to work. So, come on, fix this crap. Like, Jesus Christ. What do you get paid for?
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, I was watching that DMA thing go down live, and I was sitting there with my mouth open for a little while, going, "What the hell is going on right now with this Miley Cyrus
thing? What did I miss? What the VMA? What was going on? I'm out of the loop.
Was talking about that. Like, that was everywhere. This girl fucking shaking her. Oh my goodness! Wow.
So the VMAs were on, and the Video Music Awards, if I'm not mistaken, is what they're called. And MTV neither do videos anymore or music, so I don't know why they still have an award show for it. But so they obviously had like people go up, and she was shaking her ass, which has a new word. It's called twerking.
Yes.
Twerk and work.
Twerk and work. Shake and bake.
she got more, you know, we'll get back on the sports cards here in a minute. But just one last thing to say. She got more hits on Twitter for that than Obama's inauguration. So that's how you sell product right there. MTV had more views than ever before. So, wow.
It's all about marketing, man. That's how you do it.
But to get into
take
some
your
more
clothes off.
where should we start? Rookies and Stars, Topps Jumbo Elite Series. We're going to go ahead and dissect these right now and tell you. We busted all of them, so we're going to tell you what we liked about each one, what we disliked about each one. Where do you want to start, Dan?
Start with Rookies and Stars.
Rookies and Stars, all right. You know, I thought it was an improvement.
Rookies and Stars for 200, Doug.
I liked the set. I didn't expect much with it. I liked it better this year. They had more patches. I don't know why they call it Rookies and Stars, though, because there's really no stars in there. It should be just called Rookies and Rookies, to be honest with you. But that would probably be the only downside of the set that I would say was that there was lack of stars. I think we got two. So there's 48 hits in a case, four hits a box, usually two autos, two relics, some parallels. But there was no legends. There was no bets. There was two in the entire case. So when they call it Rookies and Stars, there's got to be some stars in there, unless they count the base as stars, I guess. But there was really no stars hits. So, but other than that, I like the design. I think they improved on last year. They had a lot more numbered cards in it, so which added some extra value. I think overall it's a pretty good bust at like $100. I think you can get some numbered to 10 parallels. Some of the this year's rookie class, some of the low numbered parallels selling pretty well on eBay right now. So I like it. multicolor. There was more multicolored patches this year as opposed to last year. So that's just my opinion. The slideshow cards are awesome, which is a picture from the rookie premiere, negative photo, and then it's signed. I liked it. I mean, what was your first impression of Rookies and Stars?
I thought they added value to it. I love the Crusade inserts, and they had paralleled versions of them. Those are really cool. I think those are falling about one or two per box. Great looking design. I'm glad they brought it to football. Maybe they'll bring it to baseball at some point. You're right. I mean, a lot of low numbered cards. I was actually surprised. And you know, I mean, it was heavily rookie based. I think they can take some stuff out of Rookies and Stars, and some stuff out of Prestige. And I think they should combine it and make it one set because it's going after the same market. It's the same, essentially the same amount of cards, same amount of hits, released around the same amount, same time. I think you can go with either or maybe just combine the good things about Rookies and Stars and the good stuff about Prestige. The slideshow autos were killer. For $100 a box, you're getting pretty good value, and you're getting a lot of cards. And the base cards were clean looking. It was a clean looking set.
Yep.
You know, I was actually pleasantly surprised with the overall, you know, sets in general. It was I mean, I'd buy a box for myself. I would absolutely buy a box for myself. I thought it was a solid product. I just don't know why you got to have a Prestige and you got to have a Rookies and Stars. I mean, just combine them at some point or make a, I mean, I don't know. Overall it's a good value. It's just going after the same market, or release Prestige early and release Rookies and Stars later in the year. Not like a month within each other. Because, like, right now, I mean,
well,
Prestige wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't. There's a lot of on-card autos. Actually, there's more on-card autos in Prestige than there was in, I don't think there was any on-card autos in Rookies and Stars.
The slideshow were on-card.
The slideshow, yeah. Which I think they just had them sign an empty negative, and then they filled in the negative later. You know what I'm saying? So that's how it looks.
Yeah, but it's a cool design. It's innovative. I like it. I mean, it's kind of thinking out of the box, and it's like doing something a little different. And you can never hate on a company for doing something like that. And you don't know if it's going to fly or not with the collectors. But I think overall, I think the response to those cards have been pretty strong. I don't know what the secondary market's been looking like on them, but overall, and again, the Crusade cards, I hope they keep that design and that parallel and that insert and keep it going with some of their other products, because those are really sharp looking cards. Great design. They pop. And then you do the parallels and it adds value to it. Overall, like I said, I'd buy a box for myself. I like it. It's a good set. I just don't think it should be released around the same time as Prestige.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, talking some real football here, with what did you think of Geno Smith's performance and how is that going to affect his card later on?
I would not be investing in Geno Smith, to be just 100% honest. The only temperament is that he is in New York, so if he does do something, or if even he has, like, just a pop, you know, I would be in and out of Geno Smith. Like, don't think, oh, 3 years from now I'm going to buy this Geno Smith autograph and it's going to be worth money 3 years from now. I can go back. I track prices of Mark Sanchez. Exquisite, when Upper Deck still had the NFL license, and the Exquisite was kind of the hot set. I mean, you would choke down – you would choke down toilet paper looking at the prices for these Mark Sanchez cards back when he first came out. And he was, you know, the fifth pick or whatever, $300-$400 for these cards that you can get for, you know, a lot cheaper now. So I don't look. I saw him on his cell phone. he seems like a guy who's more concerned about his cell phone, whatever he's doing on his cell phone. Look what happened when he didn't get picked in the first round. He kind of stormed off and said he wasn't going to come back. There's been other stories out there. And the whole Jets situation is just, it looks like a train wreck from the start.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, yeah. really does. They're going to probably have to have a new next year. So I would stay away from Geno, unless you're trying to think, well, he'll get a start and that'll elevate his cards, you know, that week or the, you know, for 2-3 weeks. But I'd be very, very wary of Geno.
I don't think the time for Geno Smith is right now. Like Ryan was saying, the Jets are a mess, and they got to change the culture of that team from the top to the bottom. And Geno Smith could be the most talented quarterback in the league. I mean, you could put Tom Brady on the Jets right now, and the Jets are probably going to win 3 games. It doesn't matter who's the quarterback for the Jets. They got to change the culture. They got to change it from the top to the bottom. I know they got a new GM, but head coach has to go. Coordinator's got to go. They got to figure it out, and it has nothing to do with Geno Smith. Geno Smith may end up being a good pro quarterback. He's not going to be a good pro quarterback this year on that team.
Right. You know, what I did take away from that game, he obviously made a lot of rookie mistakes. He threw 3 interceptions. Two were completely his fault. One was literally ripped out of a receiver's hands. I don't really count that. The running out of the end zone was a stupid rookie mistake that hopefully he can look back on it and know where the end zone is. I mean, that's pretty basic. What I did like about it is he was pretty calm in the pocket. His footwork was pretty he didn't. Because I watched pretty much a quarter of him in there. I think he went like 16 for 32. So, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's not anything like Tebow. But he stood in the pocket pretty calmly. So he didn't really move around like a lot of rookies do, or they get kind of nervous feet. So I think he has some potential, but you guys are right with the Jets situation. And I think for the card market, relating it to the card market, yeah, it would be like buy in low, and if he has a game where he throws 300 yards, unload. Like, boom, like unload right then. That would be the situation with Geno right now, is hold until he starts. Once he starts and he throws like a touchdown, I mean, it's a one-game thing with football cards, is they jump, you know, with one game. I mean, we look at – I always bring this guy up. Look at Randall Cobb from a couple years ago. He ran back a kick in the first game, and his card just like – went up 20 times the amount they were going before the season started. So it's, you know, Geno Smith is a guy, if you can get, you know, a decent low-numbered auto for maybe $50 right now, maybe, but his prices aren't $50. People are paying over $100 for some of those right now. So I don't think it's a situation where you should be a buyer on Geno Smith at this point. There's a lot of other guys out there that you can buy for low and possibly, you know, profit on if you're into that with football cards.
In his defense, though, I mean, that safety they ran out of the back of the end zone, that was pretty bush league. But everybody knows that, like, when you're inside your own 5-yard line, they're going to bring the house. They're going to blitz. Now,
right.
It's up to the team to basically pick up a blitz. I mean, he was like,
yeah,
he hiked the ball and he was just running for his life. I mean, That's not really on him. That's more on the blocking scheme. I mean, I don't know. You can't expect him to go on that team and turn it around. I think he's going to be a good pro. I just don't think he's going to be a good pro this year. I mean, I don't know. I think you put any quarterback on that team, it's going to be bad. So I don't know. I would probably not buy into him right now, but, you know, it may be a good investment for the future.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it could be if he turns it around. I mean, if that team puts together, get a good solid receiver, and I mean, Chris Ivory and Bill Powell are their running backs right now, and I don't really foresee any of those guys being viable. They just let go of Braylon Edwards. Dustin Keller's out for the year. They lost Darrell Revis. Their defense isn't actually that bad, minus even losing Darrell Revis, but their offense is pretty bad. So, and we all know with Ryan, you know, there, Rex Ryan, that, you know, I don't know. I'm surprised that guy's had the job as long as he has. I mean, I know he's brought him to playoffs and stuff, but, I mean, that guy's a circus in his own. So, I wanted to move on to Elite Series basketball. We'll leave Topps Jumbo to the end, and I'm actually precluded to Topps Jumbo. I'm going to say some good things about Topps with Topps Jumbo, but start with Elite Series NBA. Go ahead. Your first impressions, Dan. If you're not familiar with Elite Series NBA, it's about a $170 box. There's four hits plus a glass card, four autos, no patches in the set. Four autos and a glass card. It's like a eight-card box plus a Kobe pack. The packaging is probably one of the best. And I'll leave the rest to you, Dan. What do you think?
Just stole my thunder, man. You just stole my thunder. So I was going to talk about the packaging. Packaging's great. Great packaging,
yeah.
Great marketing. It's like you're getting an iPod. Like it's iPod packaging. Nice little clear plastic. Feel like you're really opening something special. You get a Kobe pack. Some value. I don't know why. I don't know why this product was released. I don't know what separates it from Elite Basketball and Elite Series. I know Elite Basketball is like 20 some odd packs, four hits, whatnot, yeah, and all that stuff. But they kept like the same Elite logo on it. Just had a different die cut. They did add the glass card to it. None of the glass cards that I pulled or I had seen are numbered. They do have different variations of them. I don't know what the numbering is on them. I don't know if anybody knows the numbering. I don't think they have autoed versions of them. I don't know what they were trying to achieve with this product. This product could have absolutely never been released, and it would have been – nobody would have been up in arms about it. I mean, they could have put – I mean, the glass card, they should not go away from. The one thing about this product is that they should keep the glass cards, maybe make different variations of them, but they should keep that idea and run with it. I don't know if they should put it in another product, maybe put it in NT or maybe put it in something else, but for $170, there's not tons of value. I'd probably pass on it. I wouldn't spend $170 for it, to be honest with you.
I think it's good.
I don't know. It's one of those products that I don't think they're probably. I don't think they're going to do it again. I don't think they'll see it next year. It's one of those deals that's going to get lost in the shuffle. This will be on shelves at distributors coming. In 2 years, you'll still see it floating around. It's probably not going to go up in value at all unless the secondary market, like, takes off of those glass cards, which at least what I've seen on eBay so far, they're selling for $20-$30 most, depending on the player.
Around $100. I see Kyrie sell anywhere from $76 to $100. I think where they really had a downfall on it is they didn't number them. Unless it comes out later that some of them are short printed, they have different versions of it that we're not seeing so far early. I mean, it's been out a week. It would have really been awesome if they would have numbered them, if they would have had number to 99, number to 25, all the way down to 101 glass cards. I think that's all it would take to turn the set into a winner. I do think the on-card autos, they have these kind of matte finish on-card autos. I would think we pulled a Grant Hill, some other guys, I think Ty Lawson or something. I think that would be the on-card. The set itself looks good, but not for the $170 price point. If they would have numbered the glass cards, I think it would have been fine. But that's where they faltered.
I think it came out after Signatures Basketball. Signatures Basketball blew doors on this product.
Right.
I mean, 10 times. Not only in value, but I just think in the overall look of the cards, I think Signatures Basketball killed it. And you could have just made more Signatures Basketball and just never even came out with the Elite Series and maybe put the glass cards in another set coming out, like a Flawless or something like that, as like a bonus card.
Right.
Packaging was great. Great-looking packaging. props on that. But, you know, I don't know. I understand the double rookie class, and let's make up for the fact that we didn't have too many releases in 11-12. Let's release more products in 12-13. But this one just didn't fly with me.
No, and I think it's going to be maybe a homer talking here, but it's going to be best consumed as a group break, and you're going to see us do it in mixers. That's how it's going to go down. We unfortunately have about 18 boxes left, so we're going to be doing some mixers with it, with NT and stuff like that. So I think it's a great like addition product to a group break of something with 12-13 in it. But I really think you're going to not get a whole lot of return of it on your investment if you do it as a box break in a shop.
So you're telling me I shouldn't be hating on it? Because
yeah, what a product. Shouldn't be on how wonderful the product is for you guys? You guys poo-poo this thing. I mean, you guys should be able to sell those 18 boxes really quick. So, I mean, for real. You know what, though?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Here's some glimmer of hope for you guys who are sitting on some inventory, which actually I don't think is a bad idea, because here's the thing that happened in 2009-2010 when Jeremy Lin popped off. And here's the sickening thing. I bought those 2009-2010 before Jeremy Lin blew up. I bought cases of Prestige for, like, nothing. And I had, like, 20 Jeremy Lin rookies, some of them serial numbered. And I sold them all because before he got hot. Because that stuff was so cheap. But then when he got hot, literally the prices of that stuff like quadrupled instantaneously overnight. So what could happen, not that you'll have those 18 boxes when the season starts, but inevitably, and because it was a double rookie class, it takes a little, like a receiver in the NFL, like really a rookie in the NFL, it takes an NBA player, unless you're like LeBron or somebody like with a man's body, a little while to kind of get going. And so there may not be a Jeremy Lin situation, but you'll see that, oh, crap, I need to go back and buy 2012-2013 basketball because it has this guy who's blowing up, a late first-round pick who's all of a sudden turned into Manny Ginobili or turned into somebody really good. That is going to happen. And you guys could directly benefit. Distributors could benefit if they're sitting on it. And not really Panini, because at that point it's already sold. You know, they don't really keep inventory. So I wouldn't feel bad if you're sitting on really anything almost, because at some point the chances are that year or that, you know, unless it was just a really crappy draft class for whatever reason, but because it was a double rookie class in basketball, we already can kind of see Anthony Davis, Kyrie, some of these other guys who are like, wow, these guys could be really good players. So that's one thing to watch out for, is that in the next year or even the year after, the double rookie class could look like, oh, my God, they should have made more products because these guys are exploding. And there's a real demand for their autograph, whereas maybe right now it's just Kyrie and Anthony Davis and a few other guys. So that's one thing that, you know, to keep in mind. And I wouldn't feel bad if you have 18 boxes or whatever on any product, really, because as long as you open it within the redemption window or whatever it is, you know, a two-year window, three-year window, I think I've seen firsthand how when Jeremy Lin exploded, all that stuff was crap, like just crap. Like, God, they were making – and they were. That's when they were making, like, really crappy products too. Like that Prestige basketball was just – oh, it was disgusting, but it was so cheap that if I would have kept those Jeremy Lin cards, I would have made a fortune. Those are still worth, like, 10 or 15 bucks. A base Jeremy Lin from Prestige, 2009-2010 Prestige, and they were giving those boxes away. Giving them away. The second he does something, boom, those things like quadrupled, 5X, 6X in value, let alone what a box of National Treasures would cost from, you know, the Jeremy Lin year at that time when he was kind of blowing up. So, you know, that's an interesting thing that you guys can take advantage of, but the manufacturers really can't because they've already sold that product, whereas you might be able to take advantage of it because you've got a box that you bought at cost, you know, wholesale cost or whatever, when it first came out. Boom, it could triple in value. You could do a group break. That would be really exciting, you know, to do a group break with an older product.
And that's a great outlook on it, because look at how many rookies were in these products. I know they released a bunch of products, but look how many rookies were in this product. Double rookie class. We, everybody in 2-3 years may be scrambling to pick up all these rookies because Kyrie's a star and Davis is a star. Fareed. I mean, there could be guys like Evan Fournier and like guys like that, Drummond. I mean, it could be like, this stuff could all be like triple the amount of what the pre-sale was because people could be looking for it because they're like, man, the value in that double rookie class is insane. Didn't see it back then when it came out, but now you look at it and you're just like, man, there's like eight guys on the All-Star game that like were in that double rookie class. So like, yeah, this stuff may end up blowing up in 2 to 3 years. It may take a while to see it. So before I know we're hating on this product because it just came out, but we may be looking at it 3 years from now going, man, if we could just get some of that 12-13 stuff, we'd be cold.
Well, look at that. I mean, look at the 03-04 stuff with LeBron. I mean, you can't even a box of exquisite for fucking.
Oh, don't even talk to me about that. Don't even talk to me about that. I that's when I was in my heyday of selling boxes. I have a printout of wholesale of what it costs wholesale, finest $55 a box. I went through cases of that. And now it's like, God, the finest box I think is like from that year is 200, maybe 300. I mean, there was stuff, God, and I was buying and reselling it all, you know, at like no margin, really, like at a slim margin. God, if I would have just kept it all, that would have been worth a fortune. I knew it was going to be worth a fortune, but at that time I needed money. I needed to turn over money quickly to just sit on box cases of finance for $50 a box. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a blew up.
And one more last bit of hatred on that set before we move to Jumbo. They actually made an insert set that probably is the ugliest card design that I had ever seen in the last 3 years. It's called Classmasters. And just if you haven't seen it yet, just search eBay. Type in 1213 Elite Series Classmasters. And I don't know what they were trying to achieve. It almost looks like a graffiti-style card with just – it says the guy when he was drafted, and then it has just all kinds of writing, just all – just busyness all over the card. And it's like a black-and-white photo. And I know you got to take – swings at things and try to hit home runs when you're making card designs, but holy crap, that was god awful. And everybody in the chat agreed when we broke that first box. It was like, what is this? I mean, I think I just regurgitated my taco for a minute when I seen it. And that's the last bit of Elite Series. Other than that, I mean, the on card autos and stuff, there wasn't anything wrong with it. I mean, you know, you can still get that Kobe, you can still get that Kyrie and get a $200-$300 card out of those boxes. Just buyer beware if you're buying it at a card shop for $170. Probably 9 out of 10 times you're not going to make your money back. But, I mean, you know, so just put it out there.
Every product can't be a home run.
No. You gotta take your swings, you know.
Time to move on.
But I did want to move into Topps Jumbo, which was refreshingly good. We didn't do Topps Hobby. Obviously, it's one hit compared to three hits. Topps Jumbo Football has three hits. This year, it's two autographs and one rookie relic. So I really did like the design this year. I like the variety of the subset inserts. I like the autograph checklist. There was a lot of veteran autographs introduced with the 86 Topps design. They had the rookies on the 86 Topps design. We pulled a Jerome Bettis out of 30 in one case. We got like a Jimmy Graham auto. It was just a really good mixture for the value of you can get like a jumbo box for $80-$90 with three hits, and you're going to get freaking 500 cards for your base set if you're building the base set with a chance at SPs on those too, which would be considered an extra hit in some respects. If you get a nice low-numbered, you know, camo of, you know, Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers or something like that, or one of the rookies, I think they really did a good job, and they tend to do a good job with Topps flagship. It seems like there's a lot more R&D, or lack of a better word, that goes into the Topps flagship football set every year. I think they did a really good job. I think it's a great product. We probably won't be doing any more group breaks just because of the sheer amount of cards, but I think they did. It was a good set.
I think I love the design of that set, and you know, yeah, the value's there. Two autos, a relic, a bunch of cards, a bunch of parallels, a bunch of little subsets that you can build. Had all the rookies in there. Overall, I mean, it seems like every year Topps does do well with their flagship Topps base set. And I actually I didn't really have high expectations because we had just opened up Finest. And Finest blew doors on the previous year's Finest. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
With all the color and just the multicolored patches and all that stuff. So after that, I was like, well, they killed with Finest. Topps flagship is going to be probably pretty dumpy. But no, pleasantly surprised. Overall, I mean, it's a marathon break if you're doing a case like we were doing. It's a couple hour break, a lot of sorting, a lot of shipping, all that stuff. But from a value standpoint, man, $80, you can't beat it for a jumbo box. I mean, you just really can't beat it for the value. I gotta say, props to Topps on that one for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's case breakers, the guys that, you know, break cases and sell sets and stuff love this stuff, and I can see why, because, I mean, some of the big cards are selling for, I mean, they got Joe Montana in there. They got, you know, we pulled the Jerome Bettis. They got Brett Favre. But they, I mean, they have the big chase cards along with just the rookies that they normally have. So it's a lot of good variety, a lot more subsets than any other set out there. So really good job on Topps. I mean, we rip on their customer service and their lack of marketing skills and all this and that. I guess that's where all the money goes, is making a good product. And, you know, maybe at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with that because people are still buying it. So.
Yep.
So,
well,
but,
there's not that many redemptions in Topps football, I would think. I think it's more tier, I guess, some of the first tier one box, which, what, isn't that come out on Wednesday? Isn't it only Monday? Like, why are people, like, that's a whole nother thing. Like, can you guys open it right now? Tier one?
I don't have it.
Not the Wednesday, right?
I'm not
nope,
part of the Crew Kids Club. We don't get products early.
Yeah,
I took a screenshot of a guy doing it. I'm not going to tell you know what, I'm not going to be that guy. I was tempted to, but there was a breaker, not a really known breaker by any means, but he was doing it today. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, that sucks. That's not fair. I mean, even if we got our shipping in early, there would be no, I believe in a fair playing field for everybody. There's just no reason for us to open it and sell it out and risk, for one, getting in trouble. And for two, I mean, that's like, pardon my French, but that's like shitting on everybody else. Yeah, that's period. I mean, if you get the stuff real, it's one thing if I got a box for myself and I opened it up right now and I didn't put it on camera, I didn't sell it, I didn't even put the cards on eBay until tomorrow, that would be one thing. But to actually facilitate and sell a product the day before its actual release date, I mean, that's slummy, in my opinion. I would never, you know, business ethic-wise, that's just not right. I mean, it's not, shouldn't do it.
Yeah,
but
you gotta, you know, and there's, I mean, but there's also their standpoint as well. If you're just starting out, I mean, I can see if you're just starting out, you're doing group breaks and you have an opportunity to open it up before everybody else. I mean, I would say probably 9 out of 10 people who are doing it are going to take that opportunity rather than like, I mean, you wait for everybody else to do it, and then you're going to be sitting there trying to fill your break for 4 weeks. So,
right.
I mean, you can't really – it's bad business ethics, but at the end of the day, you can't really fault the person for seeing an opportunity to be able to sell their product and, you know, have less competition.
Yeah.
Just to play devil's advocate on that one. I mean,
I hear what you're saying. I mean, it's just the moment, and I'm not saying we're huge by any means, but the moment we went, if I went live with Tier 1 right now, if somehow we got it in early, I would blast it on Twitter. People would say, what are you doing? It's not fair, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I don't know. That's just my – I Topps won't do anything about it, but that's, you know. And speaking of redemptions, they do
– I don't think it's on Topps, though. It's not Topps' fault. It's a distributor it's a distributor that's leaking this stuff early. It's a card shop that's getting it direct, and they're selling it early.
Yeah.
So it's the direct accounts that are actually the ones doing it, which is funny.
Right.
It's a little ironic, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean it's supposed to street tomorrow, Ryan. Aren't Annette that's in the room. I can see both sides of it as well. I'm looking at some early shots of it, and some of the cards look pretty cool. I mean, there's Bat Knobs, which everybody's going to chase. There's some acetate reprint autos, which are pretty cool. They do have some redemptions for relics, though. I've seen two already of a redemption for a relic. Not even an auto. It's a Pedro Martinez jersey card. And it's a redemption. So that's kind of confusing. Because Topps normally, I think he did that once with Balor with one guy. I don't know why there's a need for a redemption. Like, they didn't acquire the jersey. So that's a little disturbing about the set. But I think we're all in need of for some kind of mid to high-end baseball. Tier 1 is going to fulfill that need. I think it's going to go crazy regardless if there's pieces of poop in the product. It's going to still come out and it's still going to do well. It's going to be a good break. So I'm excited for it tomorrow. I think we've got three cases up there. Maybe we'll do a fourth case tomorrow if time permits and people want to do it. So it should be fun. It looks, like I said, I don't see how it could be bad with a possible Puig autos. You got all the big names. You got some Ted Williams bat knobs and Sam Musial bat knobs and stuff like that. So there's going to be some pretty big chase cards in the set. Kayleigh's a spokesperson for Topps now, apparently, because he's coming out and everything.
That's a little concerned. Well, whatever. It's added value, whatever. I'm cool with it.
Half the media?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should have an inscription card with that on there.
Oh, I would pay a lot for that. I'd pay a lot for that.
Maybe in 5-star he'll put that on there. Yeah, I'm seeing if there was on eBay right now for Tier 1. Let's see. Anything up there? Somebody's got the Pele Auto up there for $5.99. Nolan Ryan's a redemption. Sandy Koufax, Hank Aaron is a redemption. Dual Auto, but that's pretty insane. Willie Mays is a redemption. Prince Fielder's a redemption. Will Middlebrooks is a redemption. Ken Griffey's a redemption. Evan Longoria is a redemption. Yu Darvish is a redemption.
All right, let's go ahead and let's end the show.
All the good players are redemptions. All the good players are redemptions. Jose Tabata and Gregor Blanco, I'm sure they're in there alive.
Ryan Braun is not a redemption.
He needs money now.
Jerks and Profar, not a redemption. Will Myers, not a redemption. Johnny Peralta, not a redemption. Tim Raines, not a redemption in an Expos uni. Pele, not a redemption. Matt
He's
Moore,
funny.
Not a redemption. I'm going through. The black cards they had last year that they introduced with the silver pen, those look pretty sweet. So those are back this year, number 25.
Those are nice. Those are nice. Those are pretty fucking nice.
What else do we got moving along? Most people are selling breaks for this stuff. Miguel Cabrera is live. So that's good. Carlos Santana, Tyler Skaggs. You guys could all look on eBay yourselves as opposed to me just running down this list. Paul O'Neill, Buster Posey's live. He's in there live. Madison Bumgarner. Cal Ripken Jr. is a redemption. But he does have relic autos that are live. So it's a deep set. There's a lot of different autos. I mean, I think it should be good. So I'm excited to open it tomorrow. We're opening our first case at 10 a.m. tomorrow, Pacific time. So bright and early, we'll have coffee in hand or a rock star in hand for me. And
Twerk and work, baby. Woo! I'm watching, man. You guys twerkers, I'm in. I'm up at 10, baby. Like, I'm turning that off. Working.
I'm gonna have to go on YouTube here and really see what the hell is going on with this.
Torque and work.
Well, we're gonna give away something right here. We're gonna give away a spot, 2012-13 Prime Hockey random that we got going down tomorrow. It's a 3-box random. And what you guys need to do is go on sportscardradio.com, find the checklist for 12-13 Panini Prime Hockey, which releases tomorrow. I want to know who's number one on the base card checklist, name and team. And if you call in to 347-855-8815, once again, 347-855-8815, we're going to give you a spot in that there's Dominion cards in there, but it's a Prime Hockey 3-box break, 5 hits per box plus a Dominion pack, or actually 4 hits plus a Dominion pack, which has a Dominion hit because they're not doing Dominion this year. So this set should be really nice. They packed the checklist. I mean, there's everybody on there besides Gretzky because they don't have the license, but looks like it's going to be, I mean, there's really some need for some hockey. So this looks like it's going to be pretty good little set. Comes out tomorrow. I don't see how they can screw this one up. So call in, you win a spot in that break. It's a random team. So all you got to do is call in and give the number one guy on the checklist, the base checklist. Looks like we got somebody on the line. 402. 402, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? It's Ryan.
What's
up? Hey.
I want in this really bad. I want some Prime Hockey, so.
Nice. Well, who's number one on the base card checklist?
I see Craig Anderson.
Ding, ding, ding. Got it. Winner.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Awesome, man. Well, we got you down, and I believe that break, we got it scheduled. I think it's like 2:45 Pacific tomorrow, so it'll be right after lunch. So it should be fun, man.
Cool. Looking forward to it. I'll go buy a spot in it as well. So.
Oh, sweet. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And just to break down the rest of our schedule for tomorrow, we got two cases of Tier 1 bright and early. There's very few teams left, and that one was a pick-your-team style. 10 a.m. Tier 1, 12-box case number 1. 10:45, Tier 1 box case, 12-box case number 2. I can't talk. Then we have a Prime Hockey 5-box pick-your-team at 1 o'clock. And then at 1:45, we have a 12-box Tier 1, 12-box case random team. So if you missed out on any of your teams, you can get in the random and see what team you get. And then we got the Prime Hockey random at 2:45. And then we're doing a NFL 12-box random, which includes a 6-box case of the newly released 2013 Leaf autograph jersey, which those are awesome. If you didn't do them last year they came, it was the first year. It's a full-size jersey that's autographed. It's awesome. So it's we pulled, like, Paul Hornung last year, Reggie White, like RG3. I mean, it's a pretty sick product, and it's a nice piece for your man cave or your kitchen wall, bathroom wall, maybe hang it in your car, one of those. It's a pretty cool piece. Not only is that in that break, it's also a box of Bowman Sterling, Momentum, 3 boxes of Finest, and a box of Momentum 2013, so the 12 box. And then we end it with we might do another case of Tier 1 if time permits, but we end it with a 5-box basketball break, which is pretty cheap, $29 a spot. It's a Momentum Preferred, 2 boxes of Select, Elite Series, which is Product of the Year. So,
Product of the Year, Elite Series.
Elite Series, Product of the Year. Get the Class Masters. but, yeah, man, it's going to be an exciting day tomorrow. I actually have to head out to go pick somebody up, so we're going to shorten the show today. I could go on for another half hour if we wanted to, but make sure you check out our site. Check out sportscardradio.com to see the checklist for all these products and see, if one of these themes is worth buying based on the checklist. Other than that, you guys got anything else to say? I'm going to go home and play some Madden. It should be at my door today.
Bye. No.
That's why you're cutting the show off. You're going to take an email. You're going to go play Madden.
No, wait. Hold up. I thought it was coming out tomorrow.
I was wrong, man. It's today.
What?
Peter.
It's gonna be at my house. I got to leave right now. I got to go twerk and play Madden or something or whatever the hell these kids are doing.
Maybe we can get, like, if you guys have Madden, maybe we can do a little tournament with people that are in, you know, card breaks and stuff. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, dude, Madden's where it's at. I haven't bought Madden for 2 years. I'm stoked.
Hey, I have stock in TTWO, which releases Grand Theft Auto. So screw your EA Sports. Screw that. Buy Grand Theft Auto. Buy 2K Sports. Earn me some money. Come on, guys. Like, let's do this right. All about money. F Madden. F the media. F Madden. F Miley Cyrus. F Pops. Done.
That's a heck of a way to close out a show. I think we should sample that and just use that as the intro now.
I want to have a retweet contest. Let's do a twerk and work retweet contest. So go on to @CardRadioLive on Twitter and put @TwerkAndWork and we'll enter everybody in. We'll give something away. Maybe Miley Cyrus relic card or something if we can find one.
Yeah.
Or something of that nature.
Work and work.
So, work and work, the word of the day. So we're going to go ahead and close out the show, play the outro. Happy Madden playing, happy card busting, and we'll see some of you guys on the feed tomorrow. Peace out.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.